This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings, where we start our show, as always, with our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He has this knack for turning candidates into contenders. He works under the title of Ripple Connects. That's the name of the company, RippleConnects.com. And Joe McKenzie, what's that telephone number for folks who'd like to reach you by phone?
That phone number is 763-438-1621.
All right. We started off 2022 with a robust conversation about how to have and resolving to have meaningful growth in our careers this year, 2022. And you said, just a brief recap, you said decision is where it all starts, I should say.
Absolutely, Freddie. Where you make that decision, you select yourself to be on a path for meaningful growth without waiting for someone to say, hey, it's your time. It's your time now. And a lot of people would say, well, maybe outside the workplace, I don't know where to go. And last week we shared some ideas on potential, you know, attending conferences in or outside your industry, becoming a mentor or finding a mentor, volunteering, joining a civic group. All those are smaller steps that lead towards that ultimate goal of meaningful growth. And that's our decision we have to make, because today we want to talk about some things that we have to get into consideration: the time element, the cost, what we're gonna prioritize this year. But I can tell you firsthand that some of the things that I shared last week and we'll talk about today are things that I've seen as a pivot point in my career that has accelerated my professional growth and fulfillment in my career. And last week we talked about Freddie writing your book and how long, you know, the process that it took, but I would think that when you look back on the year 2021, you have that feeling of accomplishment and just that growth, because you got that first book that you've been planning for a long time out into the world. Is that correct?
That's right. Words to the Wise is out, and it was a labor. Let me just say it honestly. It was laborious, but I love it now that it's out. And I'm really excited to have done it. And I believe that will have a meaningful impact on my career.
Well, I concur. I think this is just the start, Freddie. So that's that. Even though it was laborious, it was still a start for you. You may be starting to think about what other writing projects you want to be a part of, or that next book, or who are you going to share it with. And that was that decision point that you made a couple of years ago to write that first book.
Absolutely. And I was looking at your notes that we were talking about in planning the conversation for today. Being open to speaking opportunities, that's an actionable step that I think our listeners can take. And joining Toastmasters, or all these play well, it seems, Joe, into your idea about really being decisive about taking control of your career.
Yes, that first step. And whatever you decide, if it's just a little bit out of your comfort zone or way out of your comfort zone, it's still out of your comfort zone, because you will grow. And everybody's at a different point in their career. Everybody has a different schedule and commitments and what have you. But just making that step is meaningful growth to you. Then take it. And don't wait for someone to tell you to take it. You make that decision to take it and watch what comes from it.
Wow. So goal setting, how does that play into this growth pattern that you're talking about, this growth resolving to grow in 2022?
Well, I think there should be some measurable goals. If you want to become more comfortable writing or just raising your hand to volunteer or becoming a mentor or just speaking to groups or just getting outside your normal workplace, you have to have some longer goal in mind on what that's going to look like. And so those granular steps you're going to take are towards that. And so start to envision who you want to become, what challenges you want to face. You may not be ready at this moment, but because of these steps you take this year, you might be able to tackle some of these challenges or make a career change or serve on a nonprofit board that you always wanted to be a part of the solution. And that's start thinking of envisioning where you want to go with this growth. But don't get caught up with so many steps. Take that first step. And that's what I want. We mentioned last week, and here's some actionable steps today that you can help you get to that point.
What might be a reasonable goal that everyone can take hold of?
I think just tracking the goal of getting out there, meeting new people, or talking to new people that are outside your comfort zone. That I think is a reasonable goal because of the technology today. In the middle of a pandemic, we can still attend virtual conferences. Mm-hmm. We can still speak to people online, communicating, just overall communicating to others that we haven't communicated in the past year. I think that is a very attainable goal for many people who are planning to take a first step of meaningful growth this year.
Exactly. Everyone, we're talking with Joe McKenzie in part two of our conversation about resolving to have meaningful growth in your career this year, 2022. And you also mentioned something I noticed that it was kind of interesting. You said schedule yourself for growth. What does that mean?
Well, you have to prioritize your time. And I know that I've had to be very careful on what I was involved in. And so I was very mindful of my schedule and my home life. But when I found that time, maybe a Saturday morning where I can jump on a conference call or attend an event, that was me. That was Joe McKenzie scheduling myself for growth. And I think when you start thinking about it that way, now this is where the rubber hits the road. Mm-hmm. Okay. What does my calendar look like? Can I attend a meeting? Can I sit down and write? Can I work with someone that's going to become my mentor? You have to look at your schedule. You have to prioritize what's important to you in regards to your career and make sure that if there is some time there, I would say that's where you start. That's that window for professional meaningful growth this year. Look at your schedule. You have to be realistic. You're busy, I'm busy, but at some point you have to figure out how can I make this work? And what does my schedule look like on a normal weekly and when I look at it that way? But that is a key because without time, you're not going to be able to commit to it.
That's so exactly right. Last week, I mentioned the idea of just taking small bites of the elephant in order to eat the entire animal. And I think scheduling is the same thing. Rather than scheduling perhaps an hour block or half an hour block, I tend to look at my schedule in 15 minutes. Is that too granular, Joe McKenzie, in the idea that you're putting forth this week?
No, I agree with you, Freddie. We had mentioned you wrote a book, your first book. It's possible in those 15-minute blocks, you jotted down some ideas for some those wise words, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Well, there you go. That 15 minutes combined with another 15 and so forth, you were able to carve out time for that growth by writing, by journaling, by reflecting. 15 minutes can be the difference because once that momentum sets in, then you have something.
15 minutes could stretch to 30 minutes. 30 minutes could stretch to 40 minutes and so on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know the first time I tried to write an article on LinkedIn, it took me weeks. But I got to become a better writer. I knew who to turn to for editing. But now I've got to condense down to, maybe a day or two. But that was getting out of my comfort zone, sharing my ideas to the world was very scary to me. But then, because I took that step, people were resonating with that message and so glad that I put it down on paper. Now I keep doing it. Now that was that step I took 7-8 years ago. I didn't think anybody wanted to read anything I ever wrote. But now people are asking. People are wondering where I'm going to go with this. That was that 15 minutes that started 8 years ago. And now I'm at a comfort zone where I write.
Well, so once you get the idea out of your head and get into action, is what I'm hearing you say, that things tend to be a little easier than when you're just contemplating and you keep just internalizing all these different ideas. Joe, if there is something that we should remember this weekend before we lose our time, what should we remember as we go into 2022 with regard to impacting our growth this year?
Be open to selecting yourself for meaningful growth this year. Select yourself, prioritize your time to see if it can work, and just take granular steps towards that and let the momentum of that meaningful growth set in and go from there.
All right, Joe, we are out of time, and you said it well. Joe, you do some fabulous things at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Visit my all-new FreddieBell.com website. Get up close and personal with me as a speaker, motivator, and broadcaster. Read what others have to say when they've hired me as a keynote speaker and presenter. And learn why I'm the authority on the power of focus. Download the marketing kit or contact me directly at 888-639-9738. When you're there, stop by my all-new Freddie Bell Show webpage at FreddieBell.com. FreddieBell.com. Information, motivation, innovation, and more.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
Quantum physics and psychology are proven conclusively that you get what you expect. If you expect something different will happen.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Do you ever get that thought that says, if I could just get myself out of the way, everything would be all right? That feeling suggests an inner turmoil. But through focusing on peace and calm, you can turn things around. It's a little known secret. Instead of self-defeating statements and feelings, if we can just remember that even though we feel we may have fallen short, we always have a second chance to do our best. If you make a mistake, take a misstep, or flounder, that's all it is. It's not the real you. Just relax and know that you have the power to focus on the task at hand and begin again. As you practice this technique, you'll find yourself getting better and better day by day. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
Listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
You're listening to New Beginnings and welcome to the financial game show, Ignore It or Deal With It. This is when you decide whether the money issues you're facing truly matter or not. The prize for successfully navigating these situations is reduced anxiety and better decision making. There's no consolation prize. The Kremets got hung up due to supply chain issues. Here it goes. Your diversified investments have dropped from their previous highs. Ignore it? Don't ignore things like rebalancing, but markets go both up and down. So if you are invested correctly for an appropriate time horizon, then quit paying so much attention to daily price movements. You're getting older. Decide what to do with the cabin where you've created so many family memories. Deal with it. It may not matter if you want the cabin to stay in the family if your kids don't want it. And understand this, if the kids would not buy a cabin together, they probably don't want to own one together. Call a family meeting and allow everyone to openly express what they want and then act on it. Your neighbors are driving their new car to the airport where they're heading to their newly purchased vacation home. Ignore it. How someone else spends their money doesn't need to affect how you spend yours. You are uncomfortable with how much money you have or don't have. Deal with it. Discomfort is not something to be ignored. People with money often have irrational fears of losing it. This prevents them from doing meaningful things, either creating experiences or making charitable decisions. On the other hand, when people with little money come into a windfall, they can fall victim to an illusion of wealth and end up giving it all away. Understand the whys of your money choices before you act, not after. Here's another one. The headlines are all saying that the market fell because of a new COVID-19 variant. Ignore it. The only meaningful headlines are those depicting a long-term impact on corporate earnings. When we are feeling anxious, we often want to do something, but making trades is not the answer. In fact, research from Barber and O'Dean has shown that women are generally better investors than men, partly because they trade less frequently. For a winning strategy, distinguish between the money issues that are important and those that don't matter. Spend your life wisely. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. Moving from money to talking about your health, and we do that often here on New Beginnings, a surging number of people in the United States are skipping medical treatments they need because of the cost, that according to a new poll. And that poll conducted by Gallup and West Health found that the percentage of people skipping these treatments reached a new high during the COVID-19 pandemic. It also found that the pandemic has worsened views of the American healthcare system. The poll was conducted over successive field periods of September 27th through the 30th and from October 18th through the 21st. It included 6,600 adults living in the United States and has a margin of error of plus or minus 2.2 percentage points for response percentages around 50% and plus or minus 1.3 percentage points for response percentages around 10% or 90%. 30% of respondents said they or someone in their household had a health problem over the last 3 months that they did not seek medical treatment for because of the cost of care. That's up 14% in a survey conducted in June and 10% in a March survey. It is also the highest reported number since the COVID-19 pandemic began, that according to West Health. The poll also found 30% of adults say they would not have access to affordable care if they needed it today. That's up from 22% in June, according to the Gallup. An additional 23% said healthcare costs are a major financial burden on their family. And 71% agreed that their household pays too much for the quality of health care they receive. 42% say they are worried that they won't be able to pay for needed health care services in the next year. The poll also found that people in the United States are increasingly forgoing drugs prescribed to them. 14% of respondents say that over the last 3 months, they've not been able to pay for medicine their doctor prescribed for them. That's up double from 7% in June and 6% in March. And Americans have reached their breaking point, that according to Shelley Lyford, the president and CEO of West Health. Between March and October, the percentage of people reporting trouble paying for health care, skipping treatments, and not filling their prescriptions spiked to their highest levels since the pandemic began, exacerbating another public health threat born out of the cost rather than illness. And finally, Gallup and West Health note that inflation and other factors related to the pandemic are likely behind these trends. the Consumer Price Index, which measures the average change over time in the prices urban consumers pay for goods and services, rose 6.8% over a year in November, the largest yearly increase since June of 1982. Let's go from the poll and start talking about what we can be doing right now. Age brings unique opportunities and obligations, including some important year-end tasks that can help us to make the most of our money. For people 50 and older, here are some things to consider. If you're still employed, use a retirement calculator to see if you should boost your savings rate. Catch-up contributions could allow you to save more in tax-advantaged accounts. Someone who is 50 or older can contribute up to $26,000 to a workplace 401k in 2021 and up to $7,000 to an IRA, that according to Mark Luscombe, who is a principal analyst for Walters Kluwer Tax and Accounting. You have until December 31st to contribute to workplace plans for 2021 and until April 15th to make your 2021 IRA contributions. The ability to contribute to a Roth in 2021 phases out beginning at modified adjustment gross income of $125,000 for singles and $198,000 for married couples filing jointly. Slightly different rules apply for health savings accounts, which are paired with qualifying high-deductible health insurance plans, according to Luscombe. He says contribution limits for 2021 are $3,600 for people with individual coverage and $7,200 for people with family coverage. People 55 and older can make an additional catch-up contribution of $1,000. As with IRAs, he says you have until the tax filing deadline of April 15th to contribute for the year. Meanwhile, money can't stay in retirement accounts indefinitely. We all know that. Withdrawals must begin at some point, typically at age 72. If you miss a deadline or withdraw too little, you could face a tax penalty equal to 50% of the amount you should have withdrawn but did not. The IRS specifies a minimum you need to take each year based on your December 31st account balance for the prior year. You must typically take your distributions by the end of the year, although you can delay your first required minimum distribution, also known as the RMD, until April 1st of the year after you turn 72. If you delay, you'll have to take a second RMD by the end of that year. That according to Mary Kay Foss, she's a member of the American Institute of CPAs Individual and Self-Employment Tax Committee. She says you can put off RMDs from a workplace plan such as a 401k if you're still working for that company that sponsors a plan and you don't own 5% or more of the company. And finally, there are no RMDs for Roth IRAs during the account owner's lifetime. You can also avoid required minimum distributions through qualified charitable distributions from your IRA, and these can start once you're 70 and a half. The money must be transferred directly from the IRA to a qualified charity. Taking a look and helping you with your money and your health this weekend, as always, on New Beginnings. You can hear us each weekend right here on your favorite radio station. I'm Freddie Bell, and our program continues right now.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event!
Promises to one's community.
Healthy people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
Listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Thanks for being with us this weekend on New Beginnings. And joining us right now is the former advisor to the Biden administration with regard to the virus and the pandemic, is Dr. Michael Osterholm. And he says things have changed rapidly since the onset of Omicron. And he's telling us what we've learned so far.
Well, in the U.S., I think there's about a snowball's chance in hell that we'll see any comparable response from a standpoint of wide-scale restrictions. The U.S. public is over with this pandemic. They're done, despite the fact the virus is not done with them. And as we now know with Monday's news, Omicron is now the dominant variant in this country, accounting for an estimated 73% of new cases in the country just 20 days after it was first detected. I really worry about what's in store for us in those weeks ahead. So where are we now that Omicron has taken the torch from Delta? Well, as of Tuesday, the average 7-day daily cases in the country sits at about 143,000 cases, up from 122,000 cases reported yesterday, 268,000 cases reported. So as you can anticipate, the 7-day moving average is going to start going up substantially. Hospitalizations have also continued to grow, with nearly 69,000 Americans currently admitted with COVID. And finally, we're still seeing an average of 1,300 Americans die from the virus each day. While a growing number of these cases are Omicron, a vast majority of the hospitalizations and deaths are the baselines driven by Delta hotspots, primarily those states in the upper Midwest and the Northeast. Well, now we're seeing Omicron's impact in places like New York City, where cases have risen by 277% in the past 2 weeks, propelling the state to record high levels. What will this mean for healthcare systems in New York? We don't know. Remember, upstate New York has already been struggling with the Delta surge. What will happen in places like Rhode Island, which leads the country in cases per capita, despite having one of the highest vaccination rates in the U.S., with 75% of its entire population fully vaccinated? Recently, a group of emergency doctors in the state already warned that their healthcare systems are currently collapsing. Even in the Midwest, will we see a resurgence in Michigan and Minnesota? Our healthcare systems are still in disarray from Delta. And finally, there are the signs of upticks in the South, with Florida reporting a 300% increase in cases over the past 2 weeks and Georgia reporting a 100% increase. I worry desperately about what the next month or two could mean for our country's healthcare systems. In many states, they're already broken. As I mentioned earlier, imagine if 10 to 30% of the healthcare workers in this country become infected and were expected to isolate for up to 10 days. It's a realistic possibility. In parts of South Africa, around 20% of the healthcare workers were infected with Omicron. We're hearing of similar reports out of the UK. What will this mean for our ability over the next 3 to 8 weeks to provide healthcare in this country? Meanwhile, we have a public that is largely done with this pandemic. A recent poll showed that more than half the country has moved on from taking any precautions. And much like we saw during Thanksgiving, travel in this country during the holidays is projected to be at or near pre-pandemic levels. What will make a difference? Well, if you haven't gotten your first or second dose, you should do so as soon as possible. Also, I want to remind everyone that one or two doses of vaccine at this point may offer only very limited, if any, protection at all in terms of even serious disease. Remember, it's that third dose right now that is going to be so important. But you need to get it right now. Here we have only 30% of U.S. residents who are fully vaccinated by the old definition of two doses, who have then gone on, when eligible at 6 months, to get their third dose. I hate calling those booster doses. I believe that the three-dose series should be considered just that, a series. It's not a booster dose. It's the third dose. We should make that a national standard as soon as possible. But even if you're waiting to get your third dose and you get it today, you're still talking about 7 to 14 days before you see that additional new protection kick in. That's well into the next year. That's well past the holiday season. It still may help you with this viral blizzard that's going to occur throughout the month of January. But please get in now. Don't think that you can go in and get a booster dose on Christmas Eve morning and feel perfectly safe going to a family event on Christmas Eve night. It won't work that way. So you need to get those three doses. Any dose right now, take it. It may offer protection, but know that it should be the three-dose approach. So at this point, clearly, vaccination is going to be a critical part of what we each can do to protect ourselves. If you don't have the luxury of having a third dose of vaccine on board at least 14 days ago, there still are other things you can do to better protect yourself. First of all, you understand that distancing is important, very important. I know people hate the term lockdown. I understand that. I know it'll never happen again. So all of you who might think that I don't get it, I do. But the bottom line is that did play a role in the earlier part of the pandemic in reducing transmission. If you're not in large social circles, if you're not in the public, you can't get exposed to this if, in fact, no one else in your household are also in those same settings. Now, the reality is that's not going to happen for many situations because you have to work. People who are essential workers have to go out into the public. People travel. So what we have to keep reminding people is that, in fact, just know that even being fully vaccinated and using my definition of three doses, you still may be at risk of having a breakthrough infection. In terms of testing, I wish I could say to you right now that the rapid tests are the answer, but we're waiting to get clarification what we call these lateral flow tests because we're getting a number of reports of what appear to be false negative results in the early days of people's illness, meaning that they do show up positive on PCR testing, but not on lateral flow. So yes, use them. Yes, you know, at this point, consider them, particularly if you're ill. But at the same time, don't make that your absolute answer as to why you do what you do and don't do, because we do have concerns with their potential for false negative results. Another thing, again, is the issue of respiratory protection. I've spoken to this issue so many times. Good quality respiratory protection. Use an N95 or a KN95. Make sure it's fitted as tight as it can be to your face. There are adequate supplies of these right now. And in fact, we do not have to worry about whether they will be available for healthcare workers. There are enough of these. So you can do a lot to protect yourself when you're in public settings to use a N95 respirator. I don't believe it'll happen in most cases in family settings. People just don't feel comfortable in houses with family and wearing their N95. So be it. But the bottom line, it's another element of protection. We will have more information soon on what the actual impact will be for Omicron in our communities. What happens to healthcare? What happens to everyday life as we know it? In fact, will it be over with in 8 weeks? I think it surely could rise and fall that quickly. Doesn't mean it'll go away at the end of 8 weeks, but this major thrust of cases we're seeing now may be well over. So I hope this gives you a sense that we still have a lot to learn about this variant, but everything we learn leaves me in a sense of awe of what it is doing, how it is doing it. And in addition to not only the physical damage, but the psychological damage, coming after 2 years, coming at a time of the holiday season, coming when people are tired, believing that they have gone through the worst of it. And for some locations in this country, you can't imagine, after having just been through a 3 to 4 month surge of Delta, that now you have to deal with this. So we will keep you posted in the days ahead, and just know that we're all in this together.
Dr. Osterholm, the president just released the nation's response to Omicron. What's your reaction to his plan, and how do you think Americans will respond to it?
I think most people know that I was a member of the Biden transition team for COVID from November of 2020 until January of 2021. I spent my time in that transition team impressed with the fact that I believe this administration wanted to do whatever it could to bring COVID under control. Surely they've been throwing a lot of curveballs. These 210-mile curveballs I keep talking about have landed multiple times. So let me just, from that perspective, share with you my initial response to what I'm seeing come forward as the new plan. First of all, it's divided in areas. Increased support for hospitals, robust access to free testing, and expanding capacity to get shots in arms. Let me put this all in the context of what we need right now is a plan to help us get through the next 2 to 8 weeks, a time period when we're going to see this viral blizzard. Now, we surely need long-term plans beyond 8 weeks, but this is the crisis. Right now is when we are going to be severely challenged in ways that I don't think we have been since the beginning of the pandemic. The president has announced several steps to ensure states and healthcare systems across the country have the personnel, beds, and supplies that they need. First of all, in deploying additional medical personnel, they've announced that there will be an additional 1,000 military troops to deploy to COVID-burdened hospitals throughout the country. This will include military doctors, nurses, and paramedics. They will also deploy federal medical personnel that are currently available to states immediately. At this time, there are over 100 clinical personnel and paramedics deployed to 6 different states working on Delta. And then they're going to activate the FEMA response teams to help states and hospitals add capacity at a local and regional level. They also are going to provide ongoing financial support to states to help hospitals create and license more beds. And finally, deploying hundreds of ambulances and emergency medical teams to transport patients to open beds. Now, I welcome any support we can get, but this really is going to have very limited impact in the next 3 to 8 weeks. Why? Because 1,000 troops, basically over a 50-state area in this country, is a dilution factor second to none. Remember, I already pointed out that we have 22 million healthcare workers in this country, 9.8 million MDs, RNs, and other highly skilled technologists, as well as 5.3 million nurses, aides, home healthcare aides, etc. Well, in this situation, if you look at the troops, if you look at the federal personnel, if you look at FEMA teams, which often actually use local people who have signed up to be on these teams, who are right now currently being needed where they're at, the fact that FEMA is going to provide several hundred millions of dollars to expand hospital capacity is not going to happen in 3 to 8 weeks. And even deploying the ambulances and emergency medical teams are going to be a challenge because they too, again, are often needed in the location they come from. In terms of providing critical supplies, it's surely a positive thing that the U.S. government can take from the Strategic National Stockpile things like N95 respirators and ventilators and make them readily available. Finally, the plan to provide robust access to free testing is in itself also a challenge. Surely they're going to make an effort to stand up more free testing, but this is not going to happen in this short period of time. It's just simply not. And so from that perspective, I think the most important thing is to engage local healthcare systems with state and local governments to say, okay, you've been handed this horrible mess. It's like the tornado came through your town. What are you going to do now? And things such as, how will we get healthcare workers who have been infected back to work as quickly as possible? Can we cut short their quarantine times?
Dr. Osterholm, unfortunately, we have to leave it right there, but thank you so much for being with us. And New Beginnings continues right now.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're likely listening to this at home, in your car, or somewhere warm. How would you feel if you were left in the bitter cold all night long, chained up? Please, take your dogs inside. Your dog is not going to be smarter or tougher because you made him suffer. Your dog is your partner. Treat him like a partner. If you're not respecting your animals, you're not respecting yourself. Do not leave your animal out in the cold. Please visit PETA to learn more.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
And you'll benefit from the degree that you focus attention upon this rhythm. I'm in the world. I'm in myself. We live between those two extremes. That's really where the action is. It's not just being in the world or just being isolated in yourself. It's the interaction, the flow. So now let us turn our attention to the Burning Bowl ceremony that we usually celebrate at the end of the year. But of course, we can celebrate it or have the experience of release anytime our heart and mind calls us to that experience. The Burning Bowl ceremony, practiced by most of our Unity communities around the world, is a relatively new tradition. We're not aware of the ceremony being part of the work of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, although they were doing it, but in meditation or prayer, in the practice of denials and affirmations. So this ceremony probably began in the late 60s, as best we know, in California with the well-known Unity minister, Reverend Sue Sicking. Whatever its history, the ceremony creates an image of this practice of release, which allows for taking on or affirmation. So this idea of denial, letting go, or as Charles called it, renunciation. To renounce. I realize such and such is no longer me. I renounce any ideas I've held about myself that are not the truth of my being. Charles said, denial is extremely important for the true student, and it should always precede an affirmation. He gave the example, if you have a wound on your body, before you bandage it all up and put healing salves on it and wrap it, what do you do first? You cleanse the wound. So he said the true student always begins with a denial. That is not denial as we commonly use the word in regular conversation, denying something meaning ignoring it. Charles kicked it way up. Denial was saying, this is not my truth. Perhaps you've had a particular fear in your life. Oh, what could it be? Perhaps COVID? A job change? Many different things. Something that you're really anxious about. A denial is to say this fear or anxiety is not the truth of who I am. It is an experience that I'm passing through. But it's not my eternal truth. One of the best examples I know from our Unity tradition comes from Myrtle Fillmore. I've told this story again, but you know how I like telling stories. Somebody wrote to Mrs. Fillmore years ago and said, I have been troubled by influenza. Well, remember 100 years ago, it was kind of like COVID. People were very afraid of it. People all over the world were dying from it. So she said, Mrs. Fillmore, I have this persistent flu, and I've done everything Unity has taught. I've used denials. I don't have the flu. 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 I don't have a temperature. I don't have a temperature. My stomach's not upset. My stomach's not upset. And she said, but nothing helps. Mrs. Fillmore, I'm still sick. I don't know what else to do. And Myrtle wrote back to her and just kind of gave her a slightly different perspective on the denial. She said, dear one, Unity does not ask you to ignore the experience you're going through. We simply ask that you deny that that experience is your eternal truth. That came from her own healing experience when she realized, I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness. The sickness was a human experience she was passing through. It was not her eternal truth. And so she tried to help convey that to others and say, just denying, ignoring the experience is not going to change anything. You need to realize that this sickness, this fear, this anxiety, whatever it is that's troubling the peace of your mind and heart, is something temporal. It will pass. Another great teacher in our Unity movement, she used to edit in her day all of the Unity publications, had to pass by her desk. Imelda Octavia Shanklin. And she wrote in one of her books, when you're struggling with something, do your best to remind yourself as often as you can, I am passing through this. This is not the truth of who I am as created by God. And it's all right to ask others to support you. When you're challenged physically or emotionally or mentally, reach out. Call Silent Unity. They've had a prayer ongoing for 130 years. There must be some power in it. And invite them to hold a prayer with you of your eternal truth, the reality within you, not this experience you're going through. So today, we have the opportunity to cast into the symbol of cleansing, in this case, the fire. Things that we're beginning to get a little idea are not the truth of who and what we are as God's creation. Boy, I've found a few of those things in my life. One of my friends back in Kansas City, as we'd approached the burning bowl, He'd say, a little piece of paper, James, not a Red Chief tablet.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151. 888-711-1151 or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.